All right, here we are, November 10th. Wow, time marches on. So the title of the lesson today is Hannah, Devoted to God. And they should have, the title of the lesson could be about prayer and how that prayer changes things, or how that you have to pray through difficulties and through situations that have been dealt to you, which, you frankly have no control over, and praying that God would do something about it. So we find that prayer comes from, we can recite prayers. We have the Lord's Prayer, and sometimes, or many times, we could recite that at the beginning of a service or during the service or at the end of the service, and people recite it, and it's something that they're just repeating. But prayer has to be something that comes from within. And whenever we are praying and it is from within, well, it doesn't have to be perfect. It has, there are groanings that cannot be uttered. So God interprets those groanings, those pains of our soul, that God interprets them and knows them, and they can be prayers. So reciting something for just the sake of reciting it really isn't a prayer unless it is reciting it and having it come from within our hearts. It's like praying for a meal. You know, you can say the same prayer and every day or every meal and it mean nothing, but if it means something to you, it means something to God. So Hannah provides us with an example of consistent, sincere prayer over a period of time. So she will find as we go through the lesson how that she was unable to have a child, and she is, her husband has two wives, and one of his wives can have kids, and we'll find out about all the tension that goes on in the family. And we find that the lesson provides us with an example of how God may choose to respond or not respond, and for him not to respond over a period of time, period of years. So we see that in this lesson. The central truth of the lesson is God hears and answers our prayers, but he may not do it within the time frame that we have in mind, or he may not do it at all. So the idea is, one, if God doesn't give us an answer, it doesn't mean that there's a delay, doesn't mean the answer is no. So we are to be able to pray until we recognize that we haven't got a no, so therefore we continue to pray and ask God for the need that we have or for the situation that we have encountered. So prayer is something that we pray from with a sincere heart. It doesn't matter the amount of words. It doesn't matter if we're eloquent or not. It just matters that we, with a sincere heart, are praying and bringing our need to God with an expectation that he is going to answer. So in 1 Samuel 1, chapter 1, is our lesson. And there are a lot of names that are extremely difficult to pronounce. And so I went through and one by one looked up on the internet how to pronounce these names. So bear with me. And it's not, I always called it Shiloh, but the people that are the experts call it Shiloh. So forgive me if I go to Shiloh. So now, there was a certain man of, there you go, that's a nice word. It's Ramathim Zophim. So it's two words. And here it's just one word, but it's Ramathim, then Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. Right? Is it not? No, I pronounce it Elk, but it's not Elk. It's Elkanah. So the son of Jehoham, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of, Zophu, Zophu, an Ephratite, and had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, got that one. And the name of the other was Peniah. Okay, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. So now we got the setting. We got Elkanah, who has two wives. One of them has children, one of them doesn't. But Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord at the host, at the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now, okay, where he's sitting is the doorpost that the priest sat in, fell over backwards, broke his neck. So this that where he was sitting, I'm sorry, that place where he's sitting is the place where it's they'll show you a stone that's it's like a cornerstone, it's a door stone where the post of the door would sit in a hollow out stone, and it would swing on the stone. And that was the entrance into the holy place, and back beyond that was the Holy of Holies. And this is where Hannah goes to pray, is right here at this, where the probably where these people are digging in the background. So this is, I mean, that's why I like this, because the scriptures, we can now fit it into these places. And what they are doing with that water, they're sifting the pottery and stuff, washing it off so that they know what they have. And they, most of the time they just threw it away, the old digs. But since he's been watering it, they found pottery to put it at the right date. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, that right there, just think. The Ark of the Covenant is what, where the Ten Commandments were placed. That's the Ark is where the mercy seat was. And so the Ark of the Covenant is the most venerated, holy pieces of furniture, I guess you would call it, in all of ancient Israel. And this is, you know, this box that Moses made, and the seraphims with their wings put together, and the seat, the mercy seat. So that spot is where that box would have sat for 300 years. And that's where the presence of God would descend upon the tabernacle, and all of Israel could see the presence of God in the form of a cloud coming down upon that building and upon that the holy place, most holy place, Holy of Holies. And that spot is where, more than likely, that ark sat. So right in this surrounding, then, is where our lesson takes place. So, you know, so me watching all these archaeological things does help. So, any questions? Scott, you have a question. I know you do. Yeah, it just makes it, it's like, oh, you know, here we have this, and but now we have the place in Scripture that has now being excavated, and they are finding, as they dig in this, somewhere in there says they found, oh, how many? It's 10,000 animal bones. I mean, some astronomical amount of animal bones. And of course, this was what were the sacrifices. And the sacrifices they would offer to the Lord, and then they had a bone pit where they threw all the bones. And in those bones, there was not any pigs. There was no unclean animal bones in that place. Nor were there any kids, children, sacrifices, whereas the pagan people around them would offer their children. There was only thing that was there was the clean animals that was to be sacrificed to God as a form of repentance. And we see here in the lesson that Elkanah takes a sacrifice to the temple once a year. So that's where we're at in the lesson here. And so he took the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, or in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And these are the two sons who he made reference to, that Eli, his two sons were killed, and the Ark of the Covenant. What they tried to do was they thought that the Ark of the Covenant was like a that they could take the Ark of the Covenant. They were sinful people at this time, they'd fallen away from God, and they thought if they took the Ark and the Ark went before them, that God would wipe out all their enemies. Well, they were sinful, and they just wanted to take the Ark. They weren't depending on God. They were depending on this object to wipe out the enemy, and the enemy captured the Ark. And Eli's two sons are killed, and then that's when he falls over in the doorway where they were sitting and dies. All that's right there. And one of the things, you know, when we think of doors and hinges, I always wondered how they did that. Well, they had stones, big stones, and they hewed it out in, like a bowl, and they would put the post into that bowl, and they would put another bowl on top and put that into the stonework of the door frame, and that's how the doors would open inside of those bowls. And they have one of those in that video. So, verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Benaiah, his wife, and all her sons and her daughters portions. So, Benaiah is the wife that has the kids. And he gave her and all of her sons a worthy portion. And then then he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So this is the conflict, all right? Hannah wants to have a child, but she cannot have a children. Now, one of the things is, if you go through the history of Israel, we have Abraham and Sarah. Sarah can't have a child. We have Isaac and Rebekah. They can't have a child. They have twins. And then there is Hannah. And we find these different places where God, in the past history of Israel, women were unable to have children, but God blessed them and opened their womb, and through natural relationships between a husband and wife, they had children. They had a child. So whenever we see that in the virgin birth, that it was God who, that she, Mary, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was with child. So throughout Israel's history, God had intervened that people, women who were barren, could have children. Well, how much more of that, how far is the leap from there to a virgin having a child? So they've been, in a sense, God has been preparing them throughout their history for this declaration of Isaiah that said, a virgin shall conceive. And so we have all of that. But so that it just doesn't fall out of the sky. There's a history of miraculous births in the history of Israel, but none of them are divine, but they are through human relationships. But the women were unable to have children until God opened their womb so that they could have a child. So Elkanah and Hannah were devoted individuals. Every year they took the family to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice. Each wife was given a portion to offer for a personal offering. His love for her, Hannah, was not based on... was not based on her being able to conceive a child. He loved her for who she was. Verse 3 introduces Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Eli was old and had failed in disciplining his unholy his unholy kids. So we find then we could go now to 1 Samuel 1, verse 6. And this is where we see Hannah praying year after year. We could title this Faithfully Praying or Praying Without Ceasing. We could, you know, this could be a title that we put on this section. And her adversary, so Hannah's adversary is Phinehas, and Phinehas provoked her sore. So she won't let it go. She has children, and Phinehas is jealous probably of Hannah because her husband, Elkanah, loved her more. Okay, she could have kids, but Phinehas could have children. Hannah couldn't. Phinehas was jealous because Elkanah loved Hannah more. All right, so there's this constant tension. And so often in the Middle East, if you had two wives, you had two tents. Okay, so they didn't have to put up with each other except whenever they would go to Shiloh, because they would be together in the journey. And so Phinehas would have her kids along, and she would be taunting Hannah the whole time, one of those secret things going on behind the scenes, that she couldn't have children. So this harassing behavior continued year after year. So this wasn't just something that, you know, happened for one or two years and then everything turned out all right. It happened year after year, especially when they went up to Shiloh to worship. The cruelty and delight of Phinehas apparently received from this behavior can be seen in verse 6, which says that he provoked her. And Elkanah did not... this is funny, ladies. You'll like this one. It says in the lesson, possibly he didn't understand the grief that his wife was going through. So he gave her more stuff, and then he says, "Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons?" If we were doing a class on feminine and, you know, man and woman, we would say, "Yes, you stupid fool." That's not what she wants to hear. And you're not better than 10 sons. And that's a little side note there. Very little. So she's praying year after year, and she goes to goes to Shiloh here and offers her prayers. So the next one would be praying through sorrow. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli was the priest that sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So he sat, you know, it was kind of like that was his post. You know, it'd be like, now this place there is, I guess it's a large area. It's not just one building where they are excavating. So, Eli and his sons and the family must have lived somewhere near this tabernacle. And so he would get up every day and go to the tabernacle. That was his post. Be like me coming every day and sitting outside the church. But everybody in town would be required to come to this. So the whole nation of Israel was required to go to the temple. And so he would sit there and he would speak with the individuals who would come. And so he was sitting at his post at the temple. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So she's in this area that we were looking at. The scriptures talk about that only the priests were allowed into the holy place, and most holy was only once a year by the high priest. So she's not, perhaps not in the holy place, but she's in this area where, you know, they were sitting in that doorway. So she's in this region, this area where she is praying. because Eli sees her praying. So she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, this is her sincere prayer. Now, this is, here again is when people pray sincerely and they're misunderstood by someone else. So Eli marked her mouth. He sees her praying. She's moving her mouth but not saying anything. So that must have been unusual back then. Even it is today, if a woman's using her mouth, you know, she's speaking. I had to get back. I had to do something to counteract the stupid man. Am I not better than 10 women, 10 men, or 10 sons? So, well, Eli's, he's not too bright. And so she's praying but not speaking. We do that, and that's fine. Please forgive me. You have to. God says you do, so anyhow. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved. Okay, so she's talking to God, and God doesn't have to hear our voice, right? So, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. So Eli goes up to her, and he's not the most happy priest. So he's not the most happy individual. And so he's sitting at his post, which is outside that door that we saw these guys sitting. And he's sitting there, and he sees her praying somewhere in this vicinity. And he thinks that she's drunk. So that's her prayer that is misunderstood. That right? Misunderstood prayer? Yeah, she's praying through her sorrows. And then we have misunderstood prayer, verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. So she had to tell him, Eli the priest, she had to tell him what the problem was. Now, to Hannah, she's got a lot of pain. She's got a lot of pain that she's been carrying for many, many years. Number one, she can't have a child. Now, when a woman could not have a child, it was considered that this was a curse from God, okay? This was a curse from God that God, they had done some type of sin in their life, and they were being punished for it by not being able to have a child. Now, Hannah knows that she's not sinned and she's not done that. And so she's now at, she's, you know, year after year she goes there and prays. But this year, this time she goes to the tabernacle, goes there to where Eli is able to see her praying. And he says, I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. So she is, we mentioned earlier that our prayers, if it's heartfelt prayers, sincere prayers of the heart, God hears our prayers. And it's not just rote, it's not just repeating words, it's saying something from our heart. And so she tells him, she's pouring her soul out before God. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Baal. Now, don't consider me one of the pagan people worshiping one of the pagan gods. Now, remember in the video, the Shiloh is there for 300 years. Jerusalem is a pagan city at this time. It hasn't been conquered. So Shiloh is the center of Israel at the moment, in which all of the 12 tribes spoked out from Shiloh, and this is where they were to come once a year to offer their sacrifices. So Hannah tells Eli, I am not one of those foreigners from a foreign god worshiping, I'm not an outcast from Israel worshiping a foreign god. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. So from her grief and the abundance of her grief and her sorrow, so you can imagine there, if there's these two wives and they're in two tents, the other lady, her tent's full of kids, and she's there alone in her tent. So every day she's reminded she doesn't have a child. And every day she's reminded by the other wife, you don't have a child. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So Eli now is acting as a priest before the Lord. And he is granting, and he is actually saying that God is going to answer your prayer. So, and it's like that in our own life. I was thinking as I was reading this, that we could, that I could say with confidence that the things that you have been praying for, God will answer, he will end your struggle. It's like, okay, do you have the authority to say that? Well, in the sense of God's word and in the sense of what the scripture is today, that's what I felt in my heart, that I would be able to say to you that in the struggles of your heart that you have been praying for, misunderstood, not been answered year after year, I'm saying as Eli said to Hannah, go in peace, your prayer is answered. And I think that's what God wanted to say this morning for each of us. Go in peace because your prayer is answered. Now, Hannah, we don't know how soon she became pregnant. We do know that she does. So her prayer is answered in verse 19 of chapter 1. And when she had weaned him, this is now she's had a son, and his name is Samuel. Now Samuel is the first prophet of Israel, and back here one of the places it talks about how is it that Elkanah can have a son that is capable of being a prophet? And in the lesson, it talks that Elkanah is a descendant of Levi's son, Korah, and Kohath, and qualified Samuel to serve in the priestly role along with being a judge. So it isn't that Hannah is out of line for asking for a son, nor is she out of line for saying she is going to give her son to Eli. And he's probably, Samuel's probably around 4 years old. So this place that we saw these individuals excavating, Samuel, the prophet, was probably 4 years old when he arrived there. So you can imagine a four-year-old running around the temple and running around these structures that they are being put together here. And he is there because of Hannah's prayer that God would give her a son, and that she promised that when he is weaned, he will be given to the Lord and to serve Eli at that temple. So, as what we had on the screen was CBN did a documentary on Shiloh, and which was the first tabernacle for 300 years when the children of Israel came from the Promised Land. Come from the desert into the Promised Land, and they conquered Jericho, Ai, and then they built this temple for the Lord at Shiloh, and it was there 300 years. And the excavation had pictures of them digging this out, and the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, and the door stoop where Eli probably sat, And now we have Samuel coming to that very spot and serving God and serving the temple there with Eli. So can you picture a four-year-old running around there? What would you tell him? Don't fall over the bricks. Stay off that wall. You can't go in there. So I don't know if I'd want a four-year-old. So, but that's what happened when Hannah had her prayer. So, then she says, well, you not drink wine or strong drink. This was a Nazarite vow. And a Nazarite vow was that they would, they have dedicated to the Lord. They would not drink strong wine. They would not have their hair cut like Samson, you know. His long hair was a sign of his commitment to God, and so he cut his hair and lost his strength. But Samson's another story. Then I like verse 25 and 26. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. So another year, another sacrifice they brought to the temple. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Eli, do you remember me? I was the woman that prayed here. You didn't hear me say anything. You thought I was drunk with wine. I was praying for a child, and you said I would have a child, and here is the child that I have promised to God, and he is here to serve you and to serve the Lord. Now, Eli, the priest, had two sons, but they were bad guys. they were wicked and everything. They did things wrong just to do them wrong, and they were what can I say? They were just bad. For this child, verse 27, for this child I prayed. So she's telling Eli and Samuel, this is a child I prayed, and the Lord gave me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So she brings her petition. Now, one of the things in the lesson that says, well, is this like bargaining? No. And the lesson talks about it. I don't know if I got it correct, but in bargaining, something's going to happen for us, or we're bargaining. God, you do this and I'll do that. You know, I'll do this for you if you do this. Well, Hannah is she gets nothing. The only thing she gets out of it is she still has an empty tent. What she gets out of it is she has had a child, and she knows that God has honored her prayer. And so she's content to know that she's had a child, and that child is lent to the Lord for the rest of his life. But she has other children afterwards. So we find that what was being tormented to her by the other wife of Elkanah had no more claims on her. And so her life changed, and she presented Samuel, because here's another thing. That the problem that she was having, the pain of not having a child and praying for the child, was actually in line with what God wanted for the nation of Israel. Because God needed a prophet that would come to the nation of Israel. And so here's a woman years before Samuel was needed, praying for a child that she is going to give to God. And the child she is praying for is actually the voice that God wants to speak to the people. And he comes as a result of prayer. So in our life, when we don't receive what we're praying for, if God hasn't said no, well, then we keep praying. And, you know, in this case, we see her praying for many years. And then we have praise in answered prayer. This is verse 1 of 1 Samuel 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. So she's all this ready to go. She's praising God for what God has done. He has exalted her above her enemies. Now, who's her enemy? Who's her enemy? Phinehas. Phinehas is her inner enemy because she's constantly telling her about how bad she was. And so there is none holy as the Lord, verse 2. And so this is her praise to God. There is none holy as unto the Lord. First Samuel, this is Samuel, the child she prayed for. Okay? This is the child she prayed for, and Samuel's the prophet, and Samuel is writing about his mother and where his mother was at and the torment that she went through and what happened when she went to the temple to pray and how the God answers his prayer. And Samuel is writing this, and he's saying, I am the answer to my mother's prayer, where God needed a voice in Israel. And so she praises, and he writes about his mother's praise to God for what he has done, what God has done. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. There is neither any rock like our God. Rock, you see all the rocks in the thing. There is neither rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogance come out of thy mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. That Hannah is venerated, but she is not arrogant. See the difference. That Viniha, the other wife of Elkanah, she was arrogant. She was doubting it over Hannah. She was, you know, putting her down. So Hannah, after years of prayer, has a child, and as she has a child, she does not lord it over her enemy. And she doesn't speak in arrogance, that she speaks in the idea that God, in his knowledge, has brought this to pass. God has answered my prayer. Isn't that something? God, in his foreknowledge, had place me in this position so that I would pray and pray for a child that I would give to the Lord. Had she just received a child, that child would have not been given to the Lord as Samuel. But her need brought her to the point of praying to God, and that God would give her a child, and she would lend her child to God and to Eli to serve in the temple, and Samuel was that child. So the longevity of the problem brought her to the place where it needed to be committed, the child and her commitment to God needed to be that Samuel would be given to the Lord, that he would one day be a prophet. So all of this came together in her prayer. Isn't that something? I think it's amazing. We're going to pray, and then if you can, Terry, we'll show those who just showed up what I was talking about. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and that God, that what we have been praying for, you have promised to fulfill. And that the prayers that we have been given and the prayers that we've had, Lord, we thank you that you've brought us to a place in your foreknowledge that, God, that you would answer our prayer, and the prayer would be an answer to what you want to have established in your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.